This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Oh. All right. Well, Joe started.
I like that these intros are getting shorter every time.
Yeah, we've gotten it down to one syllable, so there's not much room we can go from there.
Look, you know what? An honest man only needs one syllable. Sometimes less, sometimes half a syllable. We'll eventually get this down to just grunts. That's really what I'm moving towards, is an entirely...
Shouldn't we be moving towards, like, telepathy?
Yeah, telepathy. We don't even record a podcast.
Transmit the information instantaneously.
Just a blank audio file that says, now think about farming.
And I must say, that sounds very sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
That's my way of doing a slick segue here.
Woo! Oh, good.
Because today we will be talking, and I'm very excited to talk about this. She's one of my favorite authors. I really enjoyed discussing the ideas present in old Huxley's work, but this one has a special place in my heart. Today we'll be taking a look at Octavia Butler's Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents, and the themes and ideas present within. Yes. Back at you again with another podcast banger. But first of all, hi, I'm Andrew. sometimes known as St. Andrew. I'm kind of trying to rebrand as something else, still figuring that out. And you can find me on YouTube at St. Andrewism. But this episode is not about me and my branding. This episode is about Octavia Butler. Born in 1947 and growing up in segregation era America, she became an award-winning sci-fi author with a lot of influences and a lot of themes and ideas being covered in her work. Considering the very white, male-dominated scene that is sci-fi, the fact that she was able to not only break into it, but also present some things that haven't been explored before with angles that haven't really been explored before, has touched a lot of people. She was somewhat Afrofuturist, but she was also very much, a lot of her stories really blended a lot of people of a lot of different backgrounds and histories. And she always managed to work aspects of herself into her main characters. She was a big critic of hierarchies, which really draws me to her. And she also, very relatably, has at times struggled with writer's block and depression. She wrote over 24 essays, speeches, short stories, and novels in her time on this earth, but unfortunately she had a stroke and died in 2006. Two of the books that have had the most, of hers, that have had the most impact on me, and of course I haven't read her entire bibliography yet, but I hope to get to it, is Parallel of the Sewer.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, I think a lot of people have heard about it. It gained a lot more relevance after, you know, as climate catastrophe continued to accelerate, as, you know, we drew closer to the year that the book is set in. And with regard to the second book, as we had, you know, Trump come into office. And I'll get into why that's relevant in a bit. In the first book, just to give a brief synopsis, global climate change and economic crisis has led to a whole set of social crisis and chaos in the early 2020s. The book is set in California, and they are struggling with pervasive water shortages, and masses of poor people will do basically anything to live to see another day. Everybody is struggling. So basically today, in this setting, 15-year-old Lauren Olamina lives inside a gated community with her preacher father, family, and neighbors, sheltered somewhat from the surrounding chaos. However, when we hear gated community now, we think of, you know, like really rich people. But in this case, gated community is just like a regular community that had to put up a bunch of walls to prevent, like, pyromaniacs from, like, really.
Yeah, it's like it's a suburb that used to be like a well-off suburb, but as things got worse, it just turned into people hiding behind their walls because they were scared of poor folks, right? Like, there's an pretty element of it that almost reads like a slasher movie in the opening of the book, which is one of the things that's really compelling about it.
Yeah. They really, she really gets you invested in the setting and in the character early on. And part of what really gets you invested in Lauren as a protagonist is the fact that she suffers from a unique vulnerability or strength, depending on how you look at it, oftentimes vulnerability, and that is hyperempathy syndrome, which is basically that she's able to feel others' emotions, others' pains. So when others are very, very sad, she feels very, very sad. When others are in pain, she feels that same excruciating pain, and so on and so forth. And so she has to sort of navigate this chaos world while dealing with this disorder that she's struggling with. At the same time, though, she's also navigating faith and the idea of faith and philosophy, because her father's like a preacher, and he is the preacher of their little gated community. And so she has grown up in the church, but she also has found issues in the religion that she grew up in, places where she thinks it has sort of led people astray. And that's kind of also what has drawn me to Lauren as a character, because I too, you know, have had to negotiate and navigate that whole religious realm. And so that's basically the setting. She's in this community. It's chaos on the outside. She's navigating her hyperempathy syndrome, and she's also dealing with the ideas of religion and change and so on and so forth. So as she's there, sort of thinking internally, she's keeping this journal, and she's developing this new system of thought, which she calls Earthseed. And we're going to get into Earthseed, but it basically shapes the decisions that she makes and the outcome of both books, and as well as how they progress throughout. The second book places her in, I'm really trying not to spoil, which is difficult to do because the second book leads directly after the first book and so on and so forth. But I'll try to speak in broad brushes because I really think people should go and read it as blind as possible. Lauren, of course, eventually we will get into spoilers, by the way, so I'll try to let folks know when we get into that. But in the second book, Lauren is working on a community founded on her faith, Earthseed, and they begin to face persecution, I'll say, after the election of this ultra-conservative president who vows to, quote, make America great again.
Mm-hmm.
Being, you know, a young black woman in a minority religious faction in the United States of America, her colony becomes a target of President Jarrett's reign of terror. And at the same time, Lauren's future daughter is navigating the discovery of the mother that she didn't knew, that she didn't know, through the journals that her mother kept through the years. And I think I'll leave it at that. There are a lot of themes that, you know, Butler covers in these texts. And in fact, I've seen them described as Butlerian, which I would agree with because she covers them in other books of hers as well in different ways. She talks about poverty and slavery and freedom. She talks about perseverance. She navigates this idea of community and what community means, how community is both a balance of inclusion and exclusion at the same time. And also the whole cycle of creation, destruction, and rebirth that really defines human history. Right now, well, in that book, so in the setting of that book, slavery has made a comeback more than it already has. You know, you have these extreme forms of debt slavery and marital slavery and probably even plantation slavery. I believe plantation slavery is mentioned in the second book. And of course, this slavery is inflicted upon the poor. And particularly,
yeah, and a lot of like company
poor.
Town style slavery, yeah. Right? Where people yeah. are like bound to a specific location because of their employer who protects them in this increasingly dangerous bandit-filled world. Yeah.
Exactly. And in this world, you know, race remains a factor. Even though these books are written in the 80s and 90s, I believe.
Parable of the Sower is 93 and
yeah,
Purple Talents is 98.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So again, like he's got, or Butler has a character using the same phrase Trump would win the presidency on, what is it, 24 years before the start of his campaign. Hard to overstate exactly. The degree to which she was ahead of the curve on a lot of things.
Because, I mean, to be fair, she knew America.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she grew up in segregation era America.
Yeah.
She had to deal with, her mother was a domestic laborer. And so she had to go in with her mother in these rich white families' places through the back door. And, you know, obviously that would have shaped how she saw herself and herself in relation to the wider world, through to America as an idea. And so I think that as she's writing of this, you know, sort of horrific future, she's drawing a lot from her horrific past, or rather America's horrific past, of which her history is a part. So Lauren, who is in some ways Octavia Butler's self-insert, spends a lot of time in the book, in both books, allying with people who are also minorities, who come from mixed backgrounds, people who are, tend to be overlooked by the dominant Christian, religious, right, white order. Because I believe she finds some sense of safety and strength in people who have been so maligned. Slavery also ends up affecting Lauren's community too, in many ways that I don't want to spoil. But despite it all, the theme of perseverance is really what carries the story along. Lauren ultimately is the archetype of the perseverer. You know, she preaches a sermon on the importance of perseverance. She tries to get others to see the importance of hard work, and she sticks to her goals no matter what happens. And a lot happens that would, quite honestly, discourage a lot of people, to put it lightly. And yet she perseveres. And so to tie that in as well to American history, particularly in the first book, she ends up having to make a journey north, to Northern California. And throughout that journey, she, you know, she meets with other people and interacts with other people. She makes allies and avoids enemies. And you could honestly draw some parallels to the Underground Railroad. Of course, it's not an exact one-to-one, but in the sense of having to work with people along the way to progress out of a terrible situation, a hellish situation, for the hope, not the guarantee, but the hope of some form of salvation when you get to the end of the journey. She doesn't do it alone, she does it with others, and that's kind of what keeps her hope alive. But it's not just external. She has a lot of intrinsic motivation to persevere, which is driven by her philosophy.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org.
That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep expert. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
I mean, I think one of the things, because there's a lot of meaning in why she picks the parable of the sower and the parable of the talents for, and it's pretty obvious in the context of the books. She's not like hiding it under layers or anything. But one of the things that in particular the second book deals with, I mean, in the first book too, to a degree, is kind of the pointlessness of responding to dystopian change in society by just like hunkering down in a bunker and trying to hide from it and protect your family. Like one of the reoccurring themes is the degree to which that doesn't work. And one of the things that's really interesting about this is a dystopian novel. This is a novel that is, both of these novels are kind of imagining the collapse of a lot of aspects of American society, but it is not, at no point does the United States really collapse in these books. And even like, as much as authoritarianism is present, at no point is the government completely taken over and completely under the control of like a unified fascist regime or anything.
Yeah. Like elections are still happening. Campaigns are still going on. The police still exist, but you know, you still have to pay them to, you know, for them to pay any attention to you.
And the like Christian death squad type things that are roaming around are distinctly non-state actors. They have backing to an extent from the state. They're not really opposed by it, but it's this thing that we are actually dealing with, where collapse doesn't look like, okay, everything's fallen apart and now it's whoever's got the strongest group of buddies who can you know, do their best in the wasteland. It's like, no. It is about groups of people trying to navigate in an increasingly dysfunctional state, and the only way to actually survive that is survival's complicated, and it's never as simple as just like picking a good farm to hide on. You know, that's not gonna work out for you.
Exactly. I just wanted to point out as well that as dysfunctional as things are, people are still going to work. Not just the people who are, you know, in company towns or in debt bondage, but even Lauren's father, you know, he takes his bike every day and rides out into that chaos to go and work for a wage to come back and to try to support his family. And of course, in this gated community, we see that the attempts to stay gated, you know, is ultimately futile. Like the rich have their high security communities and they're able to escape in helicopters when anything happens, but they have no security even in this illusion of security. And that hunkering down strategy they were taking wasn't working. And the first half of the book really shows why.
Yeah, it's a book about collapse by somebody who grew up in a situation where her childhood had a lot of elements of the collapse that many, particularly like many folks are concerned about now. Like that's what she grew up in, was there's no protection. Violence can come from all sides and is random. And you have no, there are no guarantees in this like world that you've come into, which is this thing that like people are freaking out about now as we encounter kind of aspects of the world order that we had grown up with that we feel like are falling apart. And I think the thing that's so compelling about Butler is her books kind of are coming from the perspective of someone for whom that order and that world were never real.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why her contributions to sci-fi are so valuable, mm-hmm. you know, because a lot of these sci-fi writers are just like regular privileged white guys, and, you know, and they just come with that experience. And this, it's an often repeated critique of sci-fi. You see it in tweets and so sometimes where like a lot of it is just like, particularly like alien related sci-fi. It's like, whoa, what if white, the things that white people did to other people happened to white people, you know, like this whole idea that these alien invasion fears and alien invasion stories are just like, what if colonialism, but to white people, to rich countries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Another part of the reason that the attempt to hunker down and stuff and basically exclude others from their community failed is because, and Lauren writes this in her diary, exclusion breeds resentment among the excluded. So even though Lauren's neighborhood, while, you know, gated and walled and stuff, was not particularly rich, just the mere fact that they had those walls up basically signaled to the outside world that they had something to hide, some sort of resources they wanted to safeguard. Even if the only thing they had to safeguard were themselves, because a lot of the members of the community were, you know, unemployed and extremely poor. That alone sort of symbolized it was sort of a beacon drawing people to eventually attack. And that's a slight spoiler, but yeah. And, you know, despite the problems that exclusion ends up causing Lauren, as she realizes that her community could not handle that approach, even then, as she's progressing north and stuff, and she's debating with herself, you know, who to bring into her fold, exclusion and inclusion, they play a role, you know. She has to form bonds and, you know, stay safe. But at the same time, the bonds that she forms could put her in danger if she's betrayed, or if the people that she invests in end up being harmed in some way, because the harm that they experience will ultimately affect her as well.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course.
you'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary. Indulges your senses and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit leesa.com/iHeart. That's leesa.com/iHeart.
So as Lauren is making her way up north, she is continuing to wrestle with this idea of inclusion and exclusion. Because as she's progressing north in hopes of, you know, building a community of some kind, creating, joining, forming a community of some kind, she's also forming and establishing her religion. Like I mentioned before, it played a major role in the community that she came from. And in fact, Novel points out that one of the reasons people are attracted to, you know, religion, to Christianity in this chaotic time, and in general really, is because it provides hope, and hope in the form of an afterlife. And hope is what people really, really need in these hellish 2020s that they are dealing with. The Lauren comes to realize that the hope in the afterlife ultimately isn't enough for the people that have invested so much into it. One of the people in the community ends up, despite being a staunch believer, that trigger warning, by the way, for suicide. Despite being a strong believer that, you know, suicide is a sin and it'll send you straight to hell, she has so lost hope and can no longer trust in, has been dealing with so much pain that she ends up taking her own life. And she takes her own life, and as Lauren remarks, she takes her own life knowing, or at least believing, the pain hereafter. And yet, she finds it more of a reprieve than the pain she was experiencing here now. And so, as Lauren is witnessing these things happening around her, is dealing with, you know, loss and her baptism and her father's commitment to the church, she is continuing to develop the idea of Earthseed. And she begins to contrast Earthseed with Christianity, and particularly in the sense of how the two religions address hope and change. In Christianity, you know, they have the hope of the afterlife against this brutal now life, whereas Earthseed simply presents the central principle: God is change. That's the first principle of Earthseed. Second is that shape God. So first, you have to recognize and accept that change is inevitable, often destructive. But you could also recognize you have the power to shape it. And so from that comes the third principle, which is to pursue the destiny. The destiny being the establishment of humanity on other worlds. And to be quite honest, this is one aspect of the philosophy of Earthseed that I think I diverged from. Lauren, of course, has a lot of focus on the heavens, as in the cosmic heavens, and scattering Earthseed, which is, you know, humanity across, you know, all these different planets, establishing ourselves in different worlds. But I feel as though the destiny is, in a way, I wouldn't say distraction, but I think it's a misplaced hope, I guess.
I mean, that's kind of one of the points of the book, right? Because there's, especially in the second book, there's a lot from the perspective of her daughter that kind of shows how, as much her philosophy is a really understandable and in some ways admirable adaptation to the completely fucked up times she was born into, it's also, in the same way that a lot of other people's philosophies become, you know, and that her parents and stuff are earlier in the first book, it's a way for her to kind of justify not paying attention to the people in her life and not taking proper care of them, because she's got this thing that's bigger than them that she works towards.
And you really, by the end of the second book, you really have to sort of contend with the fact that, you know, you sort of have to grapple with how things with her daughter will handle in the
end. Yeah.
I guess I'll leave it at that. That's part of it. I mean, she's so dedicated to this cause, to this new religion of hers. And, you know, she's recruiting people into it. You know, she's selling people this hope, you know, that follow Earthseed, believe in a destiny. Eventually, you know, space is going to become the real life heaven. We could actually get out there and make a new start for ourselves. And that's part of it as well. Part of the whole idea of the destiny is, you know, a fresh start for humanity, a sort of a maturation of humanity. This idea that, you know, once humanity establishes itself in other worlds, that it would have grown up as a species.
Yeah, and it's one of the things that I really respect about these books that I think a lesser writer wouldn't have been able to pull off, is that the degree to which, without beating you in the head with it, you see her as first failed by the philosophies and ideologies of her parents' generation and by the systems that people had gotten stuck in. She's very much a character who grows up in a world where all the adults are stuck. Essentially like a system that has become a death cult. And she has to figure out a way out of it, which she comes to believe in so much that in her own way, she becomes stuck in that new thing. And it renders her unable to see certain things that are important. And the book never portrays her as completely right or completely wrong, because that's just not how civilization works. Things just change over time. And, you know, the ideology that her parents and the adults are all stuck in the beginning of the book is an ideology that worked to a degree at some point in the past, which is just it does a really good job of showing a number of things, which is kind of what it's like to be a kid realizing that the adults have fucked you, what it's like to become radicalized and realize that the world doesn't have to be the way that it is, and what it's like to let that radicalization lead you somewhere to where you miss important things. Like, there's so much going on in the evolution of what the characters believe in this book that is just masterful from a storytelling standpoint.
Yeah, and I mean, the second book really does a good job showing her sort of blindness as well when it comes to things going on, because what ends up happening, one of the worst incidents in that second book, is something that, of course, not to victim blame, but it is something they could have prepared for a bit more.
Yeah.
A lot more, actually.
Yeah, they're good books. They are books that you will, if you're like me, you will start reading them and you will get really into the first book, and then you'll take a 10-minute break to like check the news, and something will send you into a panic spiral, and you'll read the next two books, getting increasingly depressed. It's good.
Well,
it's a good book.
The next book, because I mean, the third book never released.
Yeah, she never quite got to make it.
Yeah, and I'll get into that as well in a bit, and how it ties into the Destiny, right?
Yeah.
But just to reiterate, you know, first principle, God has changed. God is not a person. It doesn't love or hate or watch over us or know us. It just is. Second principle, shape God. God is malleable. God is power, infinite, irresistible, inexorable, indifferent. And yet God is pliable, trickster, teacher, chaos, clay. And truly emphasizes the change is neither good or bad, but it is potential. And we have a choice to either be a victim of change, a victim of God, or we can become a partner of God, or we can become a shaper of God, or we could just stay as God's plaything, as changes prey. It's unavoidable, but our actions can shape its direction and speed. In the end, change prevails. And there's a comfort in that. Because once we understand that, we can return that effort. The inevitability of change can be what thrusts us forward. And I think people who are invested in activism, in organizing, in just revolutionary work, I think there are aspects of Uthi that I think could be very motivating, very impactful, very energizing. Because despite, you know, how circumstances play out, there's a recognition that we are never entirely disempowered, you know? And so, like, just the last point I want to get into about the Destiny. I think that's what would make me, if I were to be in this world, I think that's where I would diverge from the Earthseed orthodoxy. Because, I mean, Lauren talks about how, you know, history is just this repetitive thing. We have all these wars and kill a bunch of people and impoverish others and spread disease and hunger. And her whole thing is, just because that's how it's always been, doesn't mean we have to accept that. We can choose to do more, make something more of ourselves. And to her, making something more of ourselves is establishing ourselves on other planets. So if she is Earthseed Orthodoxy, I suppose I'm an Earthseed Protestant.
Yeah, you're Reformed. I think you're Earthseed Martin Luther nailing your theses to, I don't know, the door of her house in Seattle.
Exactly. Yeah. I would be a reformer of the Destiny, in the sense that I say the Destiny could be creating a heaven here on Earth, like, rather than pursuing a cosmic heaven. I don't think it's even something that Lauren... At least I don't recall Lauren ever grappling with the possibility, because she really is fixated on this cosmic idea. I don't think she grapples with the possibility that humanity can mature, quote-unquote, here on Earth, you know? She doesn't really draw much attention or spend much time thinking about things like ecosystem restoration or, you know, changing the... pushing back against the government or the economic system that is impoverishing and inflicting violence upon people. She's just really fixated on the Destiny. And so that's when I get into the third book and the things I learned about the third book when I was researching for this episode. Butler actually planned on exploring the fulfillment of the Destiny in the third book, Parable of the Trickster. In fact, she intended to have a 7-part series. So the third book would have been near the middle. And so the story would have focused on another woman named Imara, who is living on an Earthseed colony in the future on a planet called Bo, far away from Earth. Quote, "It is not the heaven that was hoped for, but grey, dank, and utterly miserable. Everybody is homesick. Homesick, not just in like, oh, I haven't been home in a while kind of thing. Homesick in the sense of like, you know, when someone is like an amputee and they have this sort of phantom limb sensation.
Yeah.
This homesickness is like a phantom limb pain, a neurological debilitation. It's like trying to graft humanity onto a new planet, and it's like if humanity were a branch and this new planet was a tree, and like both the tree and the branch are kind of rejecting each other. And so she never really got very far into writing Parable of the Tricksters. In fact, she had a lot of different ways of approaching it, a lot of different manuscripts that she got, you know, a couple pages into and then discarded. You know, so in some versions, the colonists end up having like a creeping blindness. In others, they get this telepathy. In other versions, she has to solve a murder. In other versions, she becomes a ghost. Sometimes she's an Earthseed skeptic. Sometimes she's a true believer. Sometimes she's a hyper empath. Sometimes she's cured of it. Sometimes the planet itself is filled with giant dinosaurs. Other times, small animals. Other times, intelligent aliens. And there's also this idea, this, I would say, very Twilight Zone-esque idea that the aliens that they do encounter are tokens of their escalating collective madness. And so the whole idea of Power of the Trickster and what have been the subsequent books was, you know, the continuation of the concept of choice, choosing to either, you know, live together, work together, struggle together, or, you know, fight and scheme and lose their minds, break down, die and murder alone. In a speech to the UN in 2001, that would be like 5 years before she passed away, I think I said 2006, she speaks about how before she even like started working on the first parable novel, she wanted to write a novel about a utopian civilization where everybody had a kind of hyper-empathy. But then, and she figured it would be a utopian society because everyone would be inclined to, you know, behave in a more pro-social way, because any antisocial activity they would have, you know, inflicted upon others would be inflicted upon themselves immediately. But then she realized it wouldn't work because sharing pain, the threat of shared pain, doesn't necessarily make people behave better towards one another. She points to the popular painful sports of, you know, like boxing and American football, you know? And so she recognizes that this idea of everyone being a hyper empath could cause a lot of trouble. I mean, if everyone feels each other's pain, who wants to be a dentist? You know, who wants to be a nurse? And so she discards that idea, and then she basically created Lauren, who is a lone hyper empath in a world that is empathy deficient. Ultimately, I think Butler gets to the heart of, you know, a lot of the issues that we are dealing with. She grapples with a lot of questions that should still be explored. The idea of inclusion and exclusion, that balance when, you know, developing community, concept of perseverance, concept of hope, the creation and destruction and rebirth of, you know, really life and just what makes life life. I guess I'll wrap things up with a quote. Does tolerance have a chance? Only if we want it to. Tolerance, like any aspect of peace, is forever a work in progress, never completed, and if we are as intelligent as we'd like to think we are, never abandoned. That's it. God is change, shape God, peace.
Well, I think that's about as good a line as any to end on. Go read Octavia Butler if you haven't. Check her out. Go to the library. Her shit's all over the library. Libraries are filthy with Octavia Butler books. You'll find it. Or steal it off the internet. She's not going to mind.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
When it comes to your job, you're likely well-versed, but what about your skin? Life's busy enough. It doesn't have to be a big chore to get well-versed skin. Check out the dermatologist-tested, cruelty-free vegan skincare products from Verst. It's under $25 and available at your local Target store, making it easier than ever to take care of your skin from head to toe. Podcast listeners, here's an exclusive deal. 15% off at VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. That's VERSEDskin.com with code MEDIA15. Verst, available at Target.